Joining us right now is Tom Rogan. Tom is a columnist at National Review and a senior fellow at the Steamboat Institute. And Tom, welcome. Good morning. Welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Thank you for having me on.
Sure. I want to talk to you. There's so much foreign policy. There's just so many issues going on right now. And one of those issues is North Korea, and especially coming up for the anniversary, the 105th anniversary of the birth of Kim Jong-un's grandfather. It is called Day of the Sun. And we have been promised a big and important event on this day, which is today. And I want to know what's going on. Do we know what this big important event is? Is he going to finally grow up? What's happening today?
Well, I mean, you never know with North Korea until it happens. And the North Koreans sometimes prepare things that they don't actually do. For example, missile tests, nuclear tests. But I think it's more likely that we might see something over the weekend or early next week, timed alongside the arrival of a U.S. carrier strike group off the North Korean coast. So that would be my inclination. But again, we shall see.
What kind of something could that be? Would it be parading a show of force through the streets of Pyongyang? Would it be testing things out? Is that the type of stuff that you're expecting?
I'm more expecting them either to present some kind of challenge to the carrier strike group, which will not go well for them if they try it, or missile test, or we've heard some reports that they might be preparing another nuclear test underground. Today, though, they probably just do their normal parade on the street type thing, which they do a lot of anyway.
Can China effectively deal with North Korea? Can they still control him?
I mean, they can. I think the Chinese influence role is very important, not simply in the economic structure, which is North Korea's export market dependent, but also in the political influence that they have going back a long time. The North Koreans, since the Korean War, Kim Il-sung, the grandfather of the Korean people's movement, as they would see it in North Korea, has been, they have consistently been dependent on China. So there is a link there that gives the Chinese political influence. And I do think, though, the Chinese are beginning to wake up to the idea that they need to put more pressure on. And I think the reason for that is President Trump's quite straightforward threats that if they don't do something, the United States will. And I think they take him at his word now.
Yeah, it seems like it. And one of the ways that we've seen is that some state media in China are now encouraging North Korea to understand that President Trump seems to be a man of his word, which comes on the heels of course, this Syria missile strike. And it seems that the meeting that President Trump and President Xi had was productive in terms of the United States goals, no?
Yeah, I think the Trump has played a strong hand so far on China in the sense he has shown respect. He showed respect to President Xi of China during the visit to Mar-a-Lago. The Chinese pay a lot of attention to that. They want to be respected. They want to be seen as a major power, which they are. And so they want those diplomatic overtures extended. And President Obama did the same thing. The difference is President Trump offers the tough riposte to the Chinese in terms of, here are our concerns about trade. Here are our concerns, again, specifically about North Korea. And you better do something. President Obama never put that pressure point on. And I think you are seeing especially in the example of the Chinese turning away North Korean coal deliveries, a inkling of pressure. And there's more going on behind the scenes, but I think the Chinese are waking up to this because they really do believe the United States might launch a military strike campaign against North Korean nuclear infrastructure, ballistic infrastructure, and they do not want that to happen.
Do you think China was pretty concerned about the currency manipulation label?
Well, it's interesting seeing that Trump sort of seemed to back
yes.
away from that yesterday. Yes, look, any of those economic considerations matter greatly to the Chinese, and they matter especially at the moment in terms of the Chinese economy trying to restructure away from this export-dependent model, as you have a urban middle class rising, but still 90% of the population in the rural areas extremely poor. Those create political tensions, political fears in the ruling elite, as well as economic doubt. So any threat by the United States to leverage economic pressure has a whole number of second and third order reverberations.
I'd like to pivot to Russia and Syria here. Russia yesterday vetoed a UN draft resolution that would have demanded that the Syrian government cooperate with an investigation into that chemical attack. And they vetoed that. My question is, it seems to me as if Russia is kind of shaping up against the world. China abstained in that vote. U.S., of course, was for it. What is the end game here for Russia siding with Syria here and putting so much political capital into this?
Well, and actually, you know, I should have mentioned that. That's very noticeable that the Chinese abstain there. That's unusual. They traditionally, you know, vote with the Russians in that regard to dilute American international power. That they didn't is, again, it's a success for Trump. But to your point, I think what the Russians are trying to do here is to say that they have the inclination to escalate more than the United States. So it's a battle of, you know, mano a mano, if you want to see it that way. What they are waiting for is the United States to essentially get over the chemical attack and accept Assad being in power. If that doesn't happen, if the United States continues to push on that, I suspect the Russians will escalate again in terms of, you know, when they bombed the aid convoy, Assad will probably use chemical weapons again. And at that point, the dependent factor of Assad's future will be if Trump orders a more escalated military strike, perhaps against Syrian command and control facilities. If he does, I think the Russians will back away from Assad, because for the Russians, you know, Assad is not that important. But sticking with him gives them credibility in their broader objective to be seen in the region by Iran, by the Saudis, as the power broker that will not back down. And still in that, you see the reverberations of President Obama's red line debacle. That even though Trump took action, that still echoes in the minds of actors in the Middle East.
Tom Rogan of National Review, we have just a second left with you. I just want to ask, National Review has been so down on Trump throughout his candidacy and into his presidency. How do you feel now about Donald Trump in terms of foreign policy? Is this positive to you?
Yeah, and look, I still have some concerns, some significant concerns on the Russia front. But in terms of what he is functionally doing, I think it's been very positive. You know, he's backed away from some of the, for example, that he wants Iraq's oil. There have been great meetings with the Iraqis, with the Sunni monarchies, and you know, he's delivering on China. So judging him on the merits of policy and what is happening, I think he deserves an A grade, and that's, I mean, he does. So, you know, I welcome that.
Interesting. Thank you, Tom Rogan of National Review, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Your insight always welcome here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Ben.